have your side tested.
Okay, good morning, everyone. It's great to resume our what's supposed to be weekly Cup of Joe. Enjoy some donuts and coffee. And as always, we express our gratitude to Elie Olswang, who has sponsored this year in memory of his beloved mother, Marilyn Olswang Eisenberg, whose neshama should have an aliyah. We've completed the study of Sha'arim B'Tfilah. We learned this incredible book by Rav Pinkus, who has enriched our davening, our prayer experience, our feeling of love and affection, the embrace with the Almighty daily. At the end of the Sefer, which is really what we're up to, he reviews the 13 synonyms for prayer. It's well worthwhile for you to review them. And he points out it's so that we can access them whenever we need them. There is no greater opportunity that when we feel we're back to a corner, when we're desperate, when we need help or support, to have that toolbox. The different languages of prayer is a toolbox filled with different opportunities and ways to connect, to beseech, to rely on the Almighty. When a challenge falls upon us, or there's something we need to daven about. It could be we're davening for Israel, could be we're davening for a friend, could be we're davening for a job interview or a business opportunity, whatever it is we're davening for. Those who live with faith, reaction we have is not only to make the doctor's appointment when someone's sick, not only to hire a lawyer when we have legal challenges, it's not only to make a meeting in order to advance our career or business interests, but the person who lives with faith in the Almighty and realizes that He is the source, the arbiter of our destiny, of all that happens, knows that on their checklist, and arguably the very top of the checklist, is to sit down and sincerely and genuinely pour out your heart to the Almighty and ask Him for help. But too many of us wait until that moment. And by then, we don't have the tools, we don't have the language. We sit there and we don't know how to talk to Him. So that's why davening regularly and working on davening regularly opens the channels of communication and enables us in those moments to be able to have those conversations. Kigon b'shoshos bodedus b'tfilah lifnei Hashem. Take an hour and it's bodedus to be by yourself, to talk to God in casual conversation. Let me tell you, I've started more recently when I don't have a very long commute to work, which you might be envious of, but it's actually missing something. There's something to be said about the moments in a car, the few minutes in solitude, the opportunity to decompress or to prepare, something to be said for it. I'm not complaining, but there's something to be said for it. But when I do find myself driving, whereas I always used to need noise, right? The radio or music or talk show or sheer, I found I crave now the silence, the space to think and to have a conversation. I mean, thank God for Bluetooth, so that if you're at a red light, the person next to you doesn't think that you've lost your mind and you're insane. If they only knew you were actually talking to yourself or talking to the Ribono Shel Olam, telling him what's going on or where you're driving or what you need, asking him for help, asking him why you're going through what you're going through. It's unbelievably cathartic. You unload, you unburden, and you're talking to the source, the one who can solve whatever challenge you're going through. And yes, listening to comedy, laughter is the best medicine. Listening to a shir is enriching with Torah. But there's nothing like a few moments of hispodidus, some time by yourself. And that's how Rav Pinkus ends the Sefer, and it's what I want to speak to you about for a couple moments this morning, because it really overlaps with our parsha. In our parsha, Yaakov Avinu, who, and I say this not in a disparaging way, but really is the first Jew to care about every penny. Yaakov leaves the pachim ketanim, the small, insignificant, inconsequential items, but he says, you know, a Jew values every penny. We understand the resources of this world, each can accomplish so much that we can't take any for granted or neglect them. So he goes back in order to recover them, and he finds himself, Vayivaser Yaakov, he finds himself, levado. He's all alone. Vayavek Ishimo, he wrestles with this angel. He wrestles with the Sarosh al Esav, either this enemy from without or this alter ego, this enemy from within. They wrestle through the night. They have a bizarre exchange in the morning. Yaakov is injured in his sciatic nerve. And we refrain from eating the Gid Hanasha. We refrain from eating that portion of the animal until this very day. It's a very interesting halacha. Most of the commentaries, the Sforno, the Rashbam, the Ramban, all interpret that the reason that we refrain from eating, the reason that, you know, where we haven't perfected Nikur, in America, we just don't eat that portion of the animal. In other countries, where they're more confident in the capacity to do nikur, to remove the sciatic nerve, you could still eat those portions. So we don't have access to those great pieces of meat. Why? So according to these commentaries, it's to commemorate this miracle. Yaakov wrestled and he persevered. He endured. He walked away, maybe with a limp, but he walked away, and it's a miracle. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch, in fact, writes. Sefer HaChinuch says, Mishar Shei Mitzvah Zu, at the core, at the root of this mitzvah, L'Rameis L'Yisrael, Sha'afa Pishi Yizblu Tzaros Rabbos Begolios, Miyad Ha'amim Miyad Bnei Esav, that even when we're in the exile, and we will suffer, we will endure many body blows, we're going to limp through our history. Shiyu B'tuchem Shelo Yovedu, El Liolam Yamod Zaram Ushman V'Yavolam Goal V'Yigalei Miyad Tzar. But like Yaakov ultimately walked away, he endured miraculously, though we will limp away from the tragedies of Jewish history, we will survive, we will thrive, and we will have a bright future. But the Chizkuni asks, it's kind of strange. To commemorate a miracle, usually we eat. We don't refrain from eating. Chanukah, we're going to eat latkes and sufganiyot, and we're going to have a seuda. Purim, we have a seuda. Pesach, we have the Seder. Sukkahs, we eat in the sukkah. Every time there's a miracle, right? They tried to kill us, we survived, let's eat. Everyone knows the old joke. So here they tried to kill Yaakov, he survived, don't eat the Gid Anasha. It makes no sense. Chizkuni says, no. The mitzvah of Gid Anasha, of not eating the sciatic nerve, is not to commemorate the miracle, it's to commemorate how Yaakov got into that problem to begin with. Why was Yaakov vulnerable to being attacked? Why was Yaakov hurt? Because he was levado. He was all alone. His children didn't accompany him. Yaakov, who was the man of achai, the man of brotherhood and camaraderie and companionship and support, finds himself all alone. And by being alone is how he was vulnerable, how he's attacked. So we refrain from eating the sciatic nerve, the Gid Anasha, to remember that we can't leave a fellow Jew alone. We always have to be there for another Jew. The Arugas Abosem says, no, you know why Yaakov was alone? Because all those years in Lavan's house, he wasn't able to learn Torah the way he wanted. He reinterprets the Chazal, the Pasuk really. The Pasuk says, "Im Lavan Garti, I lived with Lavan." He sends the emissary to tell Esav, "I lived with Lavan." Chazal interpret, "Im Lavan Garti, I lived with Lavan, v'taryag mitzvos shamarti, and I observed all taryag mitzvos, v'lo lamariti mima'asav harayim." The simple understanding is, and I didn't learn from his evil ways. Says the Arugas Abosem, "V'lo lamariti, I didn't have time to learn." Why? Mima'asav harayim. I was living with this trickster, this thief. I was living with this corrupt person. I had to be on guard all the time. I was working. Lola Marati, I didn't have time to learn. And then he finds himself wrestling all night because when we don't anchor ourselves in Torah learning, we become more vulnerable to the Yetzirah. But I want to share with you a third opinion. That's what I want to leave you with this morning. And really inspire what our davening is about, those moments in solitude in the car and in life. That Yaakov's being alone, in fact, may not be a bad thing. Yaakov's being alone may not be something that made him vulnerable to suffering and pain, but in fact made him exposed to personal growth. You see, we have so much noise in our lives. The noise fills all our space to the point that we're now uncomfortable being alone. People, every single moment, they need a distraction. They need to be reading or listening or occupied or preoccupied. We're not comfortable in our own skin. We're not comfortable being alone. But personal growth, breakthrough, ideas, vision, repair, relationships, they don't happen when there's a backdrop of noise. They happen when there's quiet. They happen when there's some alone time. Rabbi Soloveitchik points out, what were Yaakov and the angel wrestling about all night? If you look at the text, it doesn't say. Usually people wrestle over money, over women, over honor. What were they wrestling about? It never tells us what they were wrestling about. And the Rav points out, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they were wrestling about. What matters is Yaakov was wrestling. He was wrestling with himself. He was trying to grow. He was trying to improve. He was trying to reflect. He was trying to identify how he could become better. And you know what? It hurts. To take an honest look in the mirror hurts. To take a real inventory of your life hurts. Yaakov walks away with a limp. He sustains an injury, but he walks away a better person. And that we too, and that's part of what davening is, it's a recreation of the levado. We daven within the minyan, within the community, but within that we have the silent amida. We have a few moments where the phone is not on, or buzzing, or vibrating, or ringing. We have a few moments where we're not on social media and learning about Matt Lauer, the latest person, who's the next scandal. But we have a few moments where we're just levado. We carve some space and we carve some quiet, and that's where true breakthrough can happen. May we all find some quiet in our otherwise incredibly productive day today. Have a phenomenal growth-oriented day. See you next week.